Broadcasting from the deep reaches of space at the Sputnik Arcade Station, this is the Coin Rejects, episode 29. And we're back. I'm sitting here with my fellow rejects.
Jordan.
Brandon.
Brian.
And I'm Ian.
Sounds like we're all here. You can find us on the web at coinrejects.com, on Instagram, instagram.com/coinrejects, twitter.com/coinrejects, and email us at coinrejects@gmail.com. And you can voicemail us. You can voicemail us at
503-766-2263.
So yeah, Jordan is on the side of the road somewhere repairing a tire, apparently.
Having a repair party.
Repair.
He's playing bump and jump on the Highway 101.
Repair party of one.
So, okay. Voicemail.
Hey, Coin Rejects. This is Dana in Anaheim, and I just finished listening to the new podcast, which was great. I'm glad you guys have one back up. Always enjoy them. You guys are doing great work. Was enjoying hearing about banning. I wanted to just check in and thank everybody. I talked to Brian on Clav, and he got me in contact with Jordan. And so my son and I, who's 13, went out to banning and went to the expo, which was awesome. Got to meet Jordan, who is just a super cool guy. Couldn't have been friendlier. And he hooked me up with Ian when we got back, and Ian and I have been chatting a little bit. And so it's been... I'm getting to know some of you. It's really fun. You guys are great and really helpful for someone new to the hobby. Yeah, and the show, I just, you know, my quick review, I agree with Jordan. It was really awesome. That was the first show I had been to. So many games, so many pinballs. Was incredible. And I guess for me, as far as the arcade stuff, I was telling Jordan that, you know, it's just great to get your hands on a lot of games that I heard a lot about but had never played. And I think it was just also cool, you know, kind of getting a feel for, like, the overall art, game, gameplay, layout, cabinet. You know, as someone who's getting into collecting the machines, there's a lot more to it than just the games. And I'm wondering if you guys feel the same way. So I know the Vector games were the thing that really caught my attention and which pushed me to buy a really nice, I think, Asteroids Deluxe when I got back from the show. So I think that game's a great example of, like, a complete package of being super cool all the way around, the lighting, the art, the game. So, yeah, that's basically it. And the last thing I want to say is I love the ongoing story about the dad high score. I just have one problem over here, and that my initials are DAD. So I am forever cursed with having games where every slot is DAD. So just be ready for that if we all get together somewhere, because there's going to be dad all over your machines. All right, thanks so much. Have a great week. Bye.
That's fucking awesome.
Dad all over your high score table.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Time to change your name so that, you know.
What's his name? Dave from Anaheim, Dad.
Well, thanks for listening. Glad you're enjoying the show. And what do you guys think about complete package
Vector games?
Vector arcade games, just in general. I think that's a big thing on the allure of a lot of these games. I mean, not just the gameplay, but the whole package. Like, for example, Food Fight with all of the full size art wrapped around the whole thing. Like Zookeeper also.
Yeah, I like the games that have effects. So, you know, Omega Race, Turkey Shoot, shitty game, great effects.
Space Zap.
Shitty game.
Space Zap, Space Invaders, Tron. I think definitely those games, the cabinet will either make the game or enhance it, depending on how much I like the game. Definitely Asteroids Deluxe. I think everyone here is a big fan of Asteroids Deluxe, both the gameplay and the whole upright art package. Definitely I have the Cabaret. I like that one a lot too. But there's an awesome appeal for the upright for sure.
Well, I think when he means complete package, it's not... I don't think Food Fight would qualify.
I have to agree.
Really? Why not?
Because he's talking about what you can see on the screen, right? Not like stepping away and looking at the whole game. I think when you're actually staring at the screen. I think that's what he's meaning.
Yeah, I think it looks good, but is it the same sort of thing as you get with a Tron? No.
Is it? Yeah, I guess if you're talking about lights and extra stuff on the cabinet, but it does have a unique silhouette. So it's got, the cabinet is, you can't just have a generic Atari cabinet. I mean, you could, but it would be shitty. You can have the Irish version, which is like shitty. Kind of shitty. A box.
Yeah, it's definitely got more character than, Centipede or Dig Dug, which are very similar, or Kangaroo or Arabian. All those are very similar cabinets.
I would say that Space Invaders, I don't like so much as a game, but the cabinet is amazing.
Yes.
That really makes it.
And I agree.
Be the one reason I would want a Centipede.
Shit's fucking
getting ahead of yourselves.
Shit's fucking riced out, man. Space Invaders got them all.
Got to get that electroluminescent T molding. Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree. Asteroids Deluxe, I've owned that game, I think, twice, and I think I want to own another one. So,
Good value. Great, great game for someone just getting into collecting. Great value on the game. Really fun gameplay. Really good machine to pick up. So, congrats on that. Really good start. Hope your collection grows.
Dad. Continue the legacy of Dad for us every day.
We had some dad scores get put up tonight.
We sure did.
On our game that we played, which is not Tempest, as we alluded to in the last episode, because we had the chance to come over here to my house to play. And since I just picked up this Centipede Cabaret, we did a round of Centipede.
Yeah. Poorly. We did.
I did very poorly.
Yep. So those scores are Jordan in fourth place with 0 points. Brian in third place with 18,371.
Woo, third place.
Brandon in second with 19,950. And I took the top spot with 77,878. I had a pretty good game.
I just want to say one thing. Thanks, Jordan.
Yeah.
Put you in the number two spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, Centipede is a game that took a while to grow on me. I really didn't appreciate it when I first played it, and it took me a while to really get into it and get a good feel for it, but I really like it now.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons that I really wanted this Cabaret, is because this is a game in the arcade that I did not spend a lot of time with, and I played it a few times and didn't really try to get into it or get good at it, and so it was a game that I wanted so I could spend some time with it. And it's really fun, and I really like it, and it's really challenging. Maybe it's one of those games kind of like Robotron back in the day, where it was so frantic, and it gets so frantic that I was just like, I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah, I don't know if it's as intense as that.
But no, it's not as intense as that, but it does get pretty frantic when the single segments come down to you, and you get stuck there at the bottom, and they just keep coming out and keep coming out, and you're like, oh my God, gotta get these segments.
Yeah, that's definitely pretty intense, and managing that and the fucking spider all over the place definitely gets real hard, especially as you get up in the higher levels. When the game starts, all the segments of the centipede are connected together. I think there's 13 of them. And then every subsequent level, one segment detaches and comes down individually. So when you get up to the 13th level, you have 13 individual segments, and they're going all over the place, and it's really, really hard to pick those things off. So that's where I ate shit on my game was the second time around. I don't know if they were all separate, but it was real close to that. If not, my game fell apart at that point.
Mike, go ahead.
No.
I was going to say, when I was just reading about the game last night, and I realized as we were talking about while we were playing it, is that the scorpion that comes out and he poisons the mushrooms and he sends the centipedes directly to the bottom of the screen. And that was one thing. I mean, I'd seen it happen in the game, but I didn't know exactly why it was happening. It seemed like random. And then I read that and I was like, oh, okay, that's why.
Yeah.
It's like sometimes we don't know the rules of these games until we sit down and read the fucking manual.
There are a couple different mechanics like that that a good understanding of really will improve your gameplay. That's definitely one of them. The other one is that on the second board and higher, when that flea comes down, whether that's coming down or not is triggered by how many mushrooms are in that bottom strip where you can navigate. And you really want that guy to be coming down. Mm-hmm. So what I try to do is just pick off mushrooms until he comes down and wait till he's close to the bottom and then pick him off. And then because he didn't traverse through that strip, then he's going to come down again. Like, if that strip doesn't have a certain number of mushrooms, it just keeps coming down over and over again. So you can pick him off right when he's on that border. You get 200 points, and it doesn't crap up the area of the screen where you're trying to move with mushrooms, which you don't want. But it does fill them up on the upper area, which you do want, and you collect 200 points. And you just try to keep the centipede, or yeah, keep the centipede moving back and forth up at the top as much as you can, and just pick those suckers off on the early boards as much as you possibly can.
So I thought he dropped down when there's only a certain number on the screen. It's just only the bottom area. Oh, okay. I've always thought he just replenishes when a total count is below a certain amount. So nope. I didn't know that.
Nope, only in the bottom.
Fuck, I could have won if I would have known. No.
And what Jordan told me when he was over here the other day was that the spider only goes one direction. So once the mm-hmm. spider is past you, he's never going to come back. So if he's past you, you're safe.
Yep.
And you don't have to worry about him anymore. But that spider, he's very erratic.
So is it good to go past him right away then?
You can if you want to be safe. But then you can go back and get him if you want.
Yeah, you got to watch out for the spider, because the spider will move across the screen, but at also almost always at some point will stop and just bounce up and down, and that's where you want to slide in there and pick him off. You don't want to try to chase him down as he's bouncing around the screen, but if he's just bouncing up and down in place, slide under there and pick him off. If you don't pick off the spider, then they'll come back out again a lot sooner.
And so, then probably at a bad time.
Yeah, you have to be real careful. If you know the spider is going to be coming out, you want to stay away from the edges, because a lot of the times it'll come out right on top of you. You don't even have a chance to kill it. Yeah. So you want to try and pick them off, especially as you're right when you're traversing levels at the end of a level. If you pick off a spider and then pick off the last segment of the centipede, then it gives you a little more time to work on the centipede segments coming down on the next board without the spider up in your business.
Up in your business.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that spider hit me on the edge of the board a couple times on that game that we recorded, which was terrible.
Yeah. I was just looking at my score that I'm crying at now that I, before we recorded, I got 44,000. Then again, and that was a dad score, by the way. So dad shout out.
I put mine up as dad too.
Yeah.
Yep. So I've got a goal.
So, I still would have got second place, and nothing would have changed.
Yeah.
So see, I still got second place with less effort. That's great. Nice.
Yeah. When the game came to me, it was set 10,000 extra life, which is not the default. The default is 12,000. So I played that at first, and I got around 50K on that. Then I switched it, and I noticed that it cleared the high score table at the same time, which is cool because you can't put it on a super easy level and then switch the dips over.
Impress your buddies the next day.
Hey, look, it's super hard. It's like replace the high scores.
And it's a good prank, though.
Yeah. And so I'd be curious if you put it back to the 10,000 if it's still there. Probably not.
You know what
it wouldn't be there.
You know what the satisfying thing about these games is when you, you're shooting the mushrooms up close and your shot's just like repeating super fast and it's like auto fire and then... Yep. I love that. I love that about these games. Like it does that in Space Invaders a little bit too.
Galaxia, definitely. Yeah. This game, you've really got to be careful about shooting. You can't mm-hmm. be on top of that button. You got to be tapping it judiciously.
Yeah, that actually got me a few times where shot was basically waiting to repeat, and that's right when I got nailed.
Yeah, Wizard of War, same mechanic on Wizard of War too.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, you really got to be careful and make sure that you're timing, you know, if you're down at the bottom and you've got a mushroom or a line of them up above you, and you can time it so that if a centipede segment runs through there, you just mash the fire button and it'll run through the fire and then get blown away. Yeah. But you got to be real careful with that. And I mean, I have died more times than I can count just because I had a stray shot going up the screen and then something was right on top of me and I couldn't get out of the way in time.
Yeah, nothing in front of you.
So yeah, you really got to be real good on the firing.
This is where you got to insert that sound effect of the fucking obliterating the mushrooms at point blank is like very satisfying.
It is good,
yes. Yeah. Or especially when the centipede's like heading straight down and you're just picking them off.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's your strategy then? On do you like to hit them at the edge then when they're like all connected? They don't really have anywhere to go, right? When you're
so there are a couple different generally accepted strategies, and I usually take the easiest one because the others are just way too hard for me to manage because I'm a better than average player, but not a great player. And that's the tunnel strategy is what they call it. And what you want to do is, if you look at the score, the segment right under the thousands position on the score, that column, you want to keep that clear. So if you work to clear that in the early boards, it'll form start sort of a tunnel, because that's the spot where the main body of the centipede comes down. So if you have a tunnel there, it's just going to come straight down. It's not going to fuck around anywhere else. It's always going to be in the same position, and you can kill most of it, and then you just pick off the other stray segments. Okay. So that's a strategy I try to use. Not super successfully, and you really have to work it in the beginning or just be a much better player than I am. But I definitely have noticed an improvement in my scores since I started trying to keep that clear. So I think that's the main strategy, is you want those segments coming down vertically so you can pick them off in a row instead of having to chase them down by running back and forth across the screen. Yeah. So that's one strategy for doing that. The other one is those poison mushrooms that the scorpion leaves are incredibly helpful for two different reasons. One of them is that several segments will touch it and then they'll come straight down in a row and you can just pick them all off way easier again than chasing them down. And the other thing is that it changes the mechanics of when the extra segments come out from the sides. If no centipedes have eaten a poison mushroom and the first segment to touch the absolute bottom of the screen, as soon as that happens, it'll start putting more segments out the sides, and then you're playing this game where you're trying to pick off whatever segments from the start of the board are down there, and you're fighting new ones that are coming up, and they're leaving mushrooms all over the place, and it's really, really hard to recover from that. When they hit a poison mushroom, they go straight down to the bottom, and then they bounce up one row, and then they start going back up to the top of the area. So that first hitting bottom doesn't count at all. So you can get some down there, but you're not fighting that losing battle of more and more and more segments. So you really want them to be eating those mushrooms as much as possible.
Yeah. And then if you don't, and the normal guys that come down, if they, what is it, if they pass the screen, is it twice, then they, an extra guy comes out? An extra segment comes out if they cross the screen.
If they hit
more than once, right?
One of the sides, I think, something like that.
So the longer they're down there, the more quickly new segments come out.
So it's not like a certain number of.
No,
I thought it was like if they make like two passes, then it another guy comes out. That's what I always thought.
I don't think so. It might be once. It might be that the new segments are behaving under the same rules. Like they hit the side, and then another new segment comes out, but. Just in practice, if you aren't picking them off, then you soon are deluged with them and you're just, you're toast.
That's when it gets fun, though. You just start going up and down.
That part's not super fun. Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah. You need a shield button, like a centipede deluxe. That's what they need. Deluxe with a shield.
If you wanted to train on this game just to improve your game, if you had something that just punched you in the dick anytime you tried to fire when the shot was already traversing, you'd get better. In short order.
Yeah. So what are the main differences between centipede and millipede?
Three-inch ball.
So many.
I was going to say, that was actually going to be my next thing.
It's got the DDT explosion things in there.
There's a lot of different stuff.
Yeah. I was going to mention, though, that, I don't know, I've always been had a preference of the midi size in millipede. But, I don't know, with the good bearings in there, it's pretty nice. But sometimes you kind of lose track of the fucking little midi ball in there.
How can you lose track? It's a fucking track ball.
I don't know, man. No, it's tiny. It's not as easy to keep your hand on it, I don't think.
I don't know. I like the mini, for sure.
I like it.
Yeah?
See ya.
You should have bored that shit out for a 3-inch track ball.
No, Jesus. Fucking awful. Yeah, what are the differences between millipede? So there's the DDT. There's all kinds of different bugs that come out.
Like the flying ones that go at diagonals.
Yeah, those diagonals. And every now and then you'll get the screen where it's just a shitload of them coming down at you. There's, I don't know all the names of the extra enemies, but there's a lot of them. There's one that turns the mushrooms into flowers, which you can't destroy. Sometimes in between levels, they'll like kill some of the mushrooms. There's a huge number of differences. It's really a very different take on the original concept.
Yeah. And there's that guy that comes across the screen that if you hit him, it goes in slow motion.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever that fuck is.
The worm.
Yeah. And then also, I think it's just a graphical difference, but there's like the, you can see the field of where you can go up and down in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a little lighter gray background
there. I don't know if they did that because they made the game harder and they won. I don't know.
Man, it's really hard.
It seems like that space is almost doubled, too. Like, you can go up more in Millipede. Yeah?
Yeah. I'm sure there's stuff I'm forgetting, but it's... Millipede is way more frantic than Centipede. It's got a lot more going on. I don't know. It's really hard to use the DDT, or at least I don't have good success doing it.
Yeah, it seems like whenever I play that, I always hit those accidentally when I want to save them. It's like, oh, just shot it. Shot your wad. Oh, well.
It's very satisfying when you... use one and you just, and they like, just they all just right roll into right it. Into yeah. it. Yeah.
That doesn't
it's
happen.
It's good. It's hard. Yeah. It's very satisfying. Yeah, your trackball was rolling real nice.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Brand new arcade shop bearings. I think I got the rollers and the idlers off eBay because Brandon thought he had a set for me, but it turns out he did not.
Yeah. You know who probably took those, right? It's probably Ian, but the reason why I don't have any more.
I got all mine from Bob Roberts back in the day.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It's not arcade shop bearings, it's hap bearings sold by arcade shop.
Maybe they're hap. Are they hap if they're enclosed?
Happenstance.
No. Yeah. So happens that the link that you sent me said they were hap ones, but we've had that discussion before where a lot of the vendors sell garbage bearings and they just fucking spin the trackball and it just stops in like one rotation.
Yeah. So that's what I was expecting. I was like, oh crap, I bought these crappy bearings and I'm going to have to get other ones, but it turned out pretty good. They spin pretty well.
Yeah. They feel real good.
And technically, unless you're playing like Marble Madness, I guess it doesn't really matter because it's not like you have much movement anyways. But just the back and forth movement, you know?
Matters a little bit. I definitely put the trackball in an incorrect orientation because remember I was telling you it wouldn't... I was trying to do like subtle movements to the right and it just wasn't really working. And so I looked in the manual. It's like, oh, it goes this direction. And so I think that has to do with the way the rollers are oriented or something. Hmm. So where you're doing the back and forth.
Do you flip?
Had it flipped and then had the harnesses plugged in the wrong way around?
No, they were plugged in on the right sides. It was just...
That doesn't make any sense.
There's a certain... You can put it in four different ways because it's just four...
Right, but the directions aren't going to be all wrong. Like, a subtle movement to the right would not be the most noticeable problem with that.
Well, because you're still plugging the same things on the same side, so...
Oh, okay.
It doesn't matter which... It's all about how the trackball is moving the encoder wheels.
No, I don't see what you mean.
No. All right, well,
because if you left it plugged in correctly and you rotated it, then if you went right, you'd be going up.
Yeah.
And then if you change the connectors, then...
You could put it in completely upside down and change the connectors, and that would do it. Yeah.
But you can't do that because the case is only open on one side.
Well.
I think it just depends on the plugs that you're plugging into it. It doesn't matter because they're both the same encoders.
Yeah, but, well, yeah. But one is X and one is Y.
What are you talking about?
No. It was good. I know. It felt good. I like to whatever see, you did, it was good.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks good. And so did the control panel.
Yep.
Yeah. I tried to save the CPU that was on it, and it was way too far gone. As I've seen with most Centipedes, the CPU around the trackball is always coming apart.
Yep.
And there's just completely gone. And even the parts around the back and underneath were just looked like somebody spilled multiple beverages down there or something. And as I was cleaning it, the only time that I've cleaned it with Magic Eraser and it looked like it got worse.
Yikes.
And so
because the laminate came off.
Yeah. So I was just like, this is too far gone. So I just ripped it all off and spray painted. There was some like surface rust around the trackball opening from people spinning it forever. And so I spray painted all that with some Rust-Oleum and put the new CPO on from Phoenix Arcade, and it looks pretty sharp.
Was there dead? Was there dead skin cells inside the trackball?
There probably was.
Yeah. Did you spray paint those too?
It was Rust-Oleum. Inside the trackball was just all greasy.
Yeah. Well, you swapped out the ball with Snow White ball, which looks real nice.
Very white. I've got the other one over there somewhere, and it's very yellow.
Yeah, that's actually the factory color. It just looks awful. Yeah. It's really bad.
It looks like it's yellow. That's what I thought at first. I was like, it looks like it's yellowed, but it's yellowed even way.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you the secret Atari story about that, actually. How about the off-white?
Go for it.
You already know what I'm going to say, but it's because they ordered...
Can I guess?
Nope.
I'll guess.
Nope. So they ordered you know, a couple hundred thousand of the white trackballs, and then since everyone smoked inside, that's how they become fun. That's the story. Yeah,
it's bullshit. I don't believe it.
I know.
Yeah, I think the white trackball looks good. Yeah. It matches the white on the control panel overlay.
Yeah, do you think they just did that so that when they got all grubby, it wouldn't stand out as much?
That's good. Good theory.
Yeah,
that's. I never liked it. It always looked like they always looked. Yeah. Even if they look good, they look bad.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
That color sucks, and beige is not a good color to go.
So I emailed you guys an article about the making of Centipede yesterday, and it was talking about the woman who co-created it. What was her name? I can't think of it.
Donna Bailey?
Yeah, Donna Bailey. And at first, they had this game with buttons as the controls, which wasn't working out for her, and then they put a joystick, which was better, but not great, and it wasn't until they suggested putting the trackball on that it became the game that it is. And I can't imagine playing this game with buttons like side to side, like Space Invaders or something like that. It seems like it would be crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you'd
four
still,
buttons.
Yeah. Four. It would be a four button game. That's weird.
And then what would you do? Like the top right button to go diagonal, or would it be a four way?
That's awful.
Configured. I wonder if they had to change the directions, because you can go diagonal, obviously, with the trackball. Yeah. So how that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it would be like an eight way joystick, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. The trackball feels really natural on this game. Mm-hmm. It's really good. Gets you in.
Yeah, I noticed in the story they said that it was a new design or something that they were doing. I'm curious to what they were actually designing it for.
Missile Command Mini.
Yeah.
Cocktail.
That was after the fact, though. Missile Command was in 79. That's when the release date is. So it had already been out, right? Actually, I guess if they were developing this game earlier, too.
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. I could not imagine it with buttons, man.
No. Fuck.
So it's interesting that about that story, because if you look in the schematics for Centipede, all those joystick inputs are still there. And the way the trackball is interfaced, it's actually using some of the joystick logic. So you can actually hook Centipede up to a joystick and use it that way. You don't have to use a trackball. It would be very bad. It's just interesting.
But they had to add something else in there, obviously, because when you, there's the movement, right, of
the velocity.
Yeah, the velocity of the ball. Mm-hmm. Like, if you move the ball slow, it goes slow. If you go fast, you can't do that with a joystick.
Yep.
I mean, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Analog. Food fight analog joystick on your Centipede. That, yeah.
the other thing, Hall Effect Centipede.
Yeah. The other thing I think is interesting about Centipede is that it has black and white video output on the PCB.
Oh. Like, it was going to be a black and white game?
Maybe.
Like, it could have been?
Could have been.
That would have been a complex black and white game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you think about it, the color palette's really very simple. You know, it's just a handful of colors. So you can do that in grayscale very easily.
Yeah.
That was another... Actually, that article was only like two components. It had that.
There was only a couple of different...
Yeah, it was the trackball and the other option... the other part was the palette, like you were saying. She was saying that was boring, and the guy, a technician, was back there fucking around, and all of a sudden it became pastel. So I was curious to see what he was actually screwing with on the fly to make the colors change.
He wouldn't have been messing with the flyback. He'd have been messing with something else.
On the fly?
Yeah.
I didn't.
On the flyback.
The brightness control.
Oh, my God. I didn't say that. Not the flyback.
But yeah.
Overall, swapping out the color prom, something like that.
Yeah.
Overall, good game.
Yeah.
You guys decided that my wood grain is painted.
Yep.
It is.
I wonder if they painted it black because of that repair on the front there.
That makes no sense. That's paint the whole game because one corner came off.
Every repair like that I've seen. So the answer is no, because ops are super fucking lazy and they would never paint the entire side when they could only paint a section of the control panel. And I've seen numerous Atari games in these cabinets specifically where they just mask off that area. Like the line that's coming up on the front side by the monitor, they'll just mask that off to the front and then paint that edge of the control panel black to cover a repair. I've seen that on back corners, top corners, control panel areas all over the place. So yeah, they wouldn't have painted the whole thing unless there was some reason to.
Bastards.
Or they were dumb. I don't know.
Yeah, you never know.
I think both. Yeah, it sucks the whole wood grain sacrifice because that
wood grain sacrifice.
But that's I'd rather have magic eraser and some alcohol in there. Put a light base brown on there.
Yeah, I could definitely give it a shot.
And then you'd have a little brown patch.
Yep.
Instead of all black and no wood grain.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would do.
Yep, but overall, good game. You guys like Centipede?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, definitely.
It's one of those classics that's actually a lot of the core classic games like Pac-Man and all that stuff. This one has a lot more depth, I think, than those games. And I think you get more bang for your buck in Centipede than a lot of the, you know, quote, classic games.
Yeah. The thing I think is interesting about Centipede is when I was first playing it, it was, you know, it's very approachable. You can play it and you can mostly understand what's going on. But I understood enough to know that, like, I was not playing it well, but I wasn't sure what things I was doing wrong or what things I could improve in order to make my gameplay better. So I think that maybe it's a little on the complex side for that. I think it definitely rewards more attention and more time invested, but I wish it was a little bit easier to pick up the mechanics.
Yeah. I didn't roll into it with any strategy and I got, you know, 40,000 that one game. So
yeah,
I think
pretty decent score.
I think as long as you have like good reaction time, then you can get pretty far. So that's good too.
Yeah, that's what I always thought, that I enjoyed playing the game, but I knew that I wasn't playing it in a strategic way.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that I don't have to invest any strategy and I can get pretty far. So.
Well, yeah, but it's also fun that you can take it the next level and learn the strategy and understand. You can do that.
I don't want to do it.
But you can.
You don't have to do it, but it's possible.
But you can.
So you're saying I could have gotten first place if I would have invested in strategy?
If you would have really applied yourself.
If you'd
that could have been you that got 19,000, because I saw you doing several games that
had some shit games.
Yeah. So,
but I brought it. I brought it for the good games. That was my best score tonight.
He was saving it.
Yeah, I don't usually do that. Usually, I blow my wad in the first game, and that's my good score, and that's it. But
that's what I.
Yeah.
Or second game.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. I was feeling it on that game. I've had my best game is a little over 100,000 on Centipede, which I think is a pretty decent score. Hard to get up there. Hard to manage. And the thing that killed me is, like, I was so close to getting over the hump of difficulty because it just ramps up in, you know, levels 13 boards. And I was just right at the end of that ramp and couldn't get over. If I had gotten over, I probably would have gotten 100K because the next four or five boards would have been pretty easy, a lot easier than that one.
So did you say you have yours set to hard at home?
I don't remember what the settings are. I usually set it to whatever the manual recommends. So if it's
the manual recommended
hard and
easy.
12K or I know. I feel like mine is harder than yours was. I felt like I was getting extra lives at a lot higher rate than I do when I play at home.
Defaults. It's all about the defaults.
Yeah. It's also weird because I've got the multi-peed kit in mind. So I don't know. I know that has some effect on the settings. I think it has a settings menu or some shit like that.
I don't like that.
Maybe it has different levels. It was like in the manual, it had two levels. It was easier, hard, or easier, very hard.
You were saying how on the multipede kit that Centipede is a different color palette, but does that affect Millipede too?
No. Millipede has the correct palette. So the multipede kit, you have to have a Millipede board, and then you can have it in a Millipede cabinet, or you can get an adapter and put it in your Centipede. And then you put the multipede kit on the Millipede board, and that lets you play the game. So the hardware is similar but different. One of the differences is how it handles color. So it uses the Millipede color palette when you're playing Centipede. So the colors are a little different there. It was a little bit weird. Like, it was different enough that I noticed and thought it was kind of weird. But Millipede plays the same, except for I have it in a cabaret, so I've got the small trackball.
And that's Centipede.
Good game. You should play it.
All right.
Definitely. Play it and send us your scores and see if you can do better than my 18,000 something or other score.
Impossible.
You all can do better than that. Come on. Just apply yourself, unlike Brandon.
Hey, man, what are you talking about?
So, we haven't heard about updates from Brandon in a while. What's been going on with your game room?
Well, I have a game room now.
Woohoo!
It's tentatively called Old Milwaukee by Brian.
Yeah, that's a great name.
It sounds kind of old-fashioned for me, but feel like I'm fucking 75 years old.
Old Milwaukee because he likes beer, and Milwaukee because he lives in Milwaukee. So it's not spelled the same. That's the joke.
Yeah. Milwaukee. Yeah, so we moved in, and I've been trying to prep that room for a while, and I finally got it painted and cleaned out and all the boxes unpacked and moved, and so now I have space for games, and they've been sitting in Ian's garage for, I don't know,
a few months.
Yeah. There's a lot of dust on them. Still is, actually. Yeah.
He had dual dedicated Major Havocs in his garage.
For a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that day, if you guys follow us on Instagram, Ian posted dual Havocs, and that was the day that we decided to move the games, and we picked a day that didn't rain. I think it rained at the end.
It rained a bit.
Yeah. And Brian came along, too. And it was awesome. We moved, was it?
Six games,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, six, yeah. Pole Position Cockpit.
Pole Position Cockpit. Q-Bert,
Havoc, Omega Race, Dragon Slayer, and Robotron. And I think that's it.
Robot Ron.
Robot Ron.
Yep.
And the funnest part was moving the Pole Position Cockpit.
Cause man, yeah.
We didn't have a
lift gate.
We didn't have a lift gate. We had a ramp.
U-Haul ramp.
And the ramp was narrower than Pole Position, and that was a challenge. And then it was also higher than the wheels.
Angling it up.
The edges of the ramp were higher than the height of the cabinet with the wheels on, at the bottom.
Should have had an off-road Thunder.
Yeah. Should have upgraded to fucking some all-season tires on that thing.
Yeah.
So we used a... shit, what are those? I always forget what those
Creeper.
Things. Yeah.
Not a Minecraft thing if you're a 13-year-old kid of a listener.
Yeah. We put the fucking new old stock fucking Creeper.
Yeah. down at the Goodwill bins, I paid $10 for a fucking brand new Creeper. I was like, I'm going to need that for something. Yeah. And it turns out it was this.
And now we know that it could probably accept a large mail, and you can work on your car on it.
Yeah,
very large.
Because it didn't bust, and we put that underneath Pole Position, and it kind of worked pushing it up the ramp, but not really.
So, not that great.
Yeah,
we muscled it up there.
Yep.
And then all the other games, of course, were like movie normal games, and I think the highlight of that though of getting so the good games out was when we actually got to my house. And we were trying to figure out how to unload him.
Because he has stairs.
Yeah. I have, I think it's like 5 stairs or something. And I was thinking in my mind as Ian was backing up, he's like, I should just park, should I just park here? I'm like, no, you should go level with the door. And then we could just make a bridge with a ramp. And that's what we did. And yeah. How did we do that?
It took me a minute to really understand what you were saying, and then I was all for it. but lining up the back of the truck with the door in order to get the ramp there was challenging. And then I had a moment of insight where I was like, I am a fucking engineer. I've got this. And I said, Brandon, give me your phone. And then I FaceTimed his phone from my phone, and I propped it on the back bumper of the truck, and then I got in the truck, and then I had a backup camera on my phone, and I was able to line it right up. I just dropped the ramp over the stairs, right over the threshold of the door, and rolled everything straight across. It was fucking amazing.
The funniest part was is you were wearing a hood, and then, I don't know why, but you just, a guy with a hood hanging on the back and FaceTime of the truck.
It was funny. Yeah. I love it. Like, I know exactly what we're doing. And I was like, give me your phone. You're like, what? No, you're not doing that. You can't be serious. Oh, yes. Yeah. I am deadly serious.
Yeah,
it worked out great. Beautiful.
Yeah, so, and like the height of the truck is pretty much almost the height of the top of the stairs where the door's at. So it was almost exactly level, straight across bridge. And I don't think we would have been able to get fucking Pole Position up that angle.
No, definitely.
Even with...
Yeah.
I don't know, 3 people still would have been really difficult. And and even it even still was difficult getting it across with a level spot. Use the Creeper again, got all the games in, and that was that. But that was amazing.
Yeah.
It was like, it was fun. And now I have games. It's the first time I've ever had a game room for, I think, a couple of years, because they've just been stuffed in the garage. So now I can actually open the door and play games in room temperature.
And
if
nice.
I, pretty nice. And if I have to work on something, I don't have to go out in the garage. I can just open the door and it's right there. And it's just a luxury that I forgot about.
So which of your games are up and running in the game room right now?
Well, that's a good question. Qbert's working, Havoc's working, Omega Race is working, and all the other games are broken. So, which is just two games.
We did a test
Pole Position and Robotron and
Dragon's Lair.
Yeah. Well, Dragon's Lair is actually working. I just need to put the monitor in there. And then Robotron, the PCB is having some issue, and I need to fix that again. And Pole Position's Pole Position. So, borrowed Ian's Fluke, and I got to work on that. So,
we tested one of your Robotron boards tonight and saw that the sync was all messed up.
Yeah, it's trashed. It's not booting, so it's a couple of things. And I think I know what it is. So yeah, but I appreciate your guys' help, and yeah, now I feel like I'm a part of the club again. I can play games, and you know.
Yeah. Well, for sure, you know, you helped me move plenty of games and stored plenty of my games in your garage too, so I'm happy to return the favor.
Yeah.
I'm always happy to move games.
And I still haven't cleaned the dust off the top.
Yeah. Like, that's my dust. Give that shit back.
Yeah. Actually,
it's new old stock.
Yeah. The only dust I cleaned off was on top of Pole Position so I could put some boxes on top.
Nice. Yeah. And then after we were done with that, we moved your paper boy, Brian's paper boy.
Took the paper boy up to my office where it remains. Yeah. I heard it get played the other day. It hasn't been played as much lately, but somebody to play it.
You're fired.
Did you like that little clip?
Yeah. So Brian, you said you had a couple other updates too, speaking of all your shit that's been going on.
I think it's Ian's turn.
Is it Ian?
So I think I said a while ago, I'm mostly done buying, I probably wouldn't buy anything, and like anytime I say that, that's the cue to fucking buy a ton of shit I don't need.
Or so, someone tells you to buy something.
Yeah, that's I'm susceptible to peer pressure. I enjoy enabling others and being enabled in my turn. So, I picked up a few pieces. I got a Sega Jambo Safari for $300 locally. Do not give a flying fuck about the game, but it is in the Naomi Universal Candy Cabinet, which is a very good find for $300. Monitor is toast, but I have another monitor that I can drop right in there, which is TriSync, which is exactly what you want in that.
Yep.
I eventually want to turn that into an Outrun 2 and get rid of my sit-down, which takes up too much floor space.
That's a good idea. That's like an extra game and a half of space, probably.
Yeah, for sure. Extra game. Easy. So I'm looking for those parts because I need a couple parts for that, but I need to get that going. It's in pretty decent shape. Definitely, I mean, any candy cab for $300, I will buy those all day long. No. So that was a nice little score.
It's not really a candy cab. It's a fucking skeleton of beams.
It's a great cab. You can take it down so you can have it candy cab height.
Yeah.
It's a really nice cab. I like that cabinet.
Yeah. It just bothers me that it's called Jambo Safari, that game. Yeah. Why don't they just call it Safari? Fucking Jumbo? Like, Jambo sounds like it's just...
Because it's a Jambo.
No, it's bullshit.
Yeah, it ain't great, but it's all complete. So, Naomi board set and all that shit. And,
yeah.
Yep, pretty good pickup.
Is that a Naomi 2 board set? Or is
Naomi
that...
1.
Oh, okay.
Yep, so that's pretty cool. And then yesterday, actually, on my way home from work, I got enabled into buying the shittiest breakout cabinet for $75. So this was on OfferUp, and someone was like, this is an easy restore.
Is that what they said?
Yeah, Dylan said that. So they wanted $100, and I offered 50, and they countered 75, and I said, okay. And then they tried to get me back up to 100, and I said, I'm not getting in a bidding war, but I'll be there with $75 if you still want to sell it.
Is that what you said?
Yeah. And they said, okay. So I did. This was a breakout that got converted to Space Invaders for some reason. Has this Midway Space Invaders board set and power supply soldered into the harness because they just hacked off the breakout connector. Has the monitor, has no back door, cabinets, like, rotten as shit.
Yeah.
So,
it's
I don't
got,
know.
It's got good side art, though.
Yeah, side art's painted over, shit brown, Space Invader stenciled on it.
It's the best part.
It's a wreck. I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but for $75, I'm not complaining. Monitor and board set and all that for $75. It's a good deal. So, swung that.
How was that monitor?
Yeah.
That should be
I'm hoping that it's not necked, because they told me that it powers up. But I didn't power it up there, and I'm really glad, because I got it home and I started looking over it, and the yoke was installed backwards and was just hanging off the end of the tube, and the tube, the CRT cathode connector wasn't even plugged in. Yeah. So
looks symmetrical. Must be right, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah, who knows what got fucked up with that. I don't know if that part works. I guess, I mean, powers up, okay. I don't know what that actually means. It certainly is not 100% working.
It would
still
power up. It just wouldn't fucking look like...
Yeah, the deflection coil windings pressed right up against the fucking cathode connector, probably not a great idea.
Yeah, but so. It would still power up. That's why they said it just
powers up. Yeah, you can tell. The sparks, that's the power.
Yeah.
Catching on fire. That's an electrical fire. It's powered up.
I hear the buzz. That's good. Yeah.
It's a feature.
So that was fun. And then the other pickup I had was a game I've been looking for a really long time.
You've been talking about that for a long time.
Already have the play field for it.
Yep. So I finally picked up a Centaur pinball machine. It was a local guy, super nice, paid too much for it. And in 2 years, I'll be like, fuck, I got a deal on that because it's pinball.
Yeah,
it's playing. It's in okay shape. Play field is fucked. Like they all are on that, but I have a nice shiny CPR playfield ready to go.
Is it all yellowed out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. They're all yellow and they're all like that. It's awful.
Yeah, that one shows more so than most because it's just fucking white and black. So it's.
Yeah. It's good shit.
It's just like the Centipede trackball. Fucking yellowed ass
playfield. So what is CPR? I think I've heard that term and I don't know what that stands for.
Classic Playfield Reproductions. So they're a company that makes some really high quality reproductions of hard to find pinball parts. Playfields obviously are their main line, but they also do plastics and all sorts of other bits and bobs if you need them. So I've been sitting on that playfield for a year or so, and just because I love this game, I knew I was going to have one eventually, and I wanted to make sure I had a playfield for when I got it, because all the playfields are always fucked on these games.
When you edit the episode, could you put the snippet from Back to the Future where he goes, "What's CPR?" You can do that?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
That part's fine.
Go for it.
Yeah.
What's CPR?
So did you get, what version of the playfield is it? Gold, silver?
I got it secondhand because they were sold out. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it looks nice. Yeah. It doesn't say on it.
Yeah. Does it have all the holes drilled in?
Yep. All the inserts put in, all the holes drilled, clear coated.
Oh, that's good.
Looks good.
So on some of those, you had to do some drilling and stuff. So,
yeah, I hear sometimes the like divots are filled up with paint a bit, so it can be hard to tell where the screws go.
Yeah, you could just put the old playfield on top. And...
Yep, exactly.
Yep.
I was reading over someone who did a playfield swap on this, and they took a big piece of thin paper and just kind of traced over it to make a template, and then drilled through that.
Actually, I guess you wouldn't put a nice. Or a shit playfield on top of your new one, you do it the other way around. You put the new one on top of the old one.
Well, there's on the top side, it's pretty easy, but all the stuff that screws into the bottom is where it becomes an issue.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting process. Well, you pretty much tore apart your Dracula or BSD pin, so
I tore apart.
That's a lot more complicated. Side. Than this game, but
yeah, I tore down almost the entire top side of that game, but. I haven't done a playfield swap or done a total teardown of the underside. So it's going to be interesting.
Do you got a rotisserie?
I don't. I was looking at building one. It seems not that hard. I don't know if I need a rotisserie for it or not.
Yeah, if you just swap over a couple of components at a time and kind of just have it side by side.
Yeah, I was talking to some folks and they were saying you should like set them side by side and do the top side first and then flip it over and... do all the backside components and then just like swap the harness over.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, since the harness is kind of molded after all these years, it kind of just falls into place.
And I read some other people, they go and they put like Molex connectors on everything and instead label it
soldered
instead of because they're all soldered.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's a good idea or not.
That seems like a pain in the ass.
It does seem like a pain in the ass.
And I don't see the value or the ROI. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you need to swap out a coil or something, it'll be a little easier in the future.
That's yeah, gonna happen.
I'm excited. It's playing. It's in okay shape.
Is it fully playable? Like, as far as, like, war and playfield and all that, like, does it still everything function?
There's, like, a couple lamps that are burnt out, and the right slingshot is not working, and other than that, it's fully functional.
Nice.
So, yeah.
That's good that it's at least playable, even though it was too much money. I mean, it would have sucked if it was completely trashed. And
I have turned down. I've gone... How much do I want this game? I have gone to see two of them with cash in hand, also overpriced, and then walked away because it was just completely not worth it. There was one that was totally not playable, wouldn't even boot up, was just missing pieces from the playfield, was
just
really in... It was too big of a project for me to take on, and I knew it, and I wasn't going to just... buy it and have it sit around in my garage because I really want this game.
Yeah.
And then another one was also in really crap condition. They had what happens on these is in the center of the play field, it'll just blow straight out to the wood. You know, all the art is gone. It's just bare wood. And this happened on that. And then they put Mylar over top of it.
That looks good.
So it looked like
let's preserve
the sound. Wood. The sound wasn't working. There was a bunch of stuff wrong with it. It was in really bad condition. They wanted way too much. Both of those they wanted more than I ended up spending for this one. So I think as far as my experience with the prices go, I got a good deal.
Yeah. I don't see them come up at all. Like you never see them online for sale or anything on eBay.
They're uncommon.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's such a great game. Definitely, if you get a chance to play one, check it out. It's super unique. There's just not any other game quite like it. It's got this just awesome black and white art. The playfield art is fucking badass. It really looks great. It has amazing sound. It has speech. It has this amazing reverb on the speech. It just sounds fucking wicked. Really awesome looking game. And the gameplay is also very unique. 81, I think, is when this came out, and it has five-ball multi-ball, which is super uncommon for the era. I mean, having any multi-ball was pretty uncommon for the era.
It's a damn good year, 81.
And it doesn't work quite the same way as other games where, you know, lock a ball and then hit a thing and then they come out. You have to hit these drop targets in the center in order to activate a ball. So you're still just playing with one. There's not a physical lock, but it's queued up to get launched out onto the playfield. And then you have some other drop targets. A captive ball hits drop targets, and once you knock all those down, the spot target at the end will start multi-ball. However many of the drop targets you got down and activated balls, they all come out. So you can get up to four of those activated, and then the one you have in play, so five ball. Then there's... another thing where you have four drop targets you have to hit in sequence that activates another release target. And then there's also in lane and out lane by the flippers. And if you light all four of those lights, then it'll launch one more ball into play. It's also got a really unique out lane configuration. So instead of the out lanes always just draining out or having kickback or whatever, there's a ball gate right above the flipper. And there's some star posts with rubbers on them in the outlanes. So you can, if you're good, you can, the ball is going down the outlane, you can bounce it through the ball gate and back onto the flipper and keep it in play.
Wow.
And it's got just so many great features. If you hit like the OR, so the drop targets say orbs, ORBS. If you hit O and R at the same time, you get a bunch more points than if you hit them individually. Same on BS. You get a huge amount of, you get, hell yeah, you get a good bonus for hitting those at the same time.
Bullshit bonus.
And if you hit all four of them in sequence ORBS, then it will launch your ball out immediately. So there's just a lot going on. I think it's a great looking game, super unique mechanics, awesome sounding game. I just love it a lot.
It's cool that you knew that you wanted that game and you just held out for the right time.
Yeah.
And it came up and...
Sucks that you overpaid and it wasn't in good condition, but... I guess that's just how it is, right?
Yeah. I mean, there was one that went up for sale on Clav years ago, and it was like $4,600.
That's too much.
But it was immaculate. Like, had a brand new play field. Cabinet had been stripped and stenciled. Like, it was gorgeous. Like, turnkey. Didn't have to do anything. And, man, I wish I had bought it. Because, I mean, I would pay that for that game right now.
Yeah.
Good game. Did you want to talk about anything about the games you have at your office?
So I did set up Centaur at my office game room. Some of you longtime listeners may know I have had some video games at my office for a really long time now, years and years. So I put Centaur there. We just moved offices, just put up a building across the street, and engineering moved over there. So now I have a soundproofed room with a door for all the video games. It says arcade on the door.
Oh, yes.
Come a long way since I was like, does anyone care if I bring a video game here? And no one said, like, hell no. And so I was like, okay, I brought him in. So yeah, that's pretty cool. It's set up next to my Bram Stoker's Dracula. And
Hamstokers?
Yeah, I moved all those games over. Had one of my friends there help me. But yeah, just across the street, trucked him over there. But it's nice. It's nice to have, you know, a separate space. Before, we were sharing the space with some other stuff, and it wasn't ideal. So yeah. It's nice to have a separate room for it.
Is it more popular now, or is it still
just about the same?
Yeah.
You know, there's a guy who really enjoys playing the Galaxian. He was like, oh, I got 13,000 points on Galaxian. It's like, awesome. That's a pretty good score for Galaxian.
Yeah.
It's cool that you have some extra space, too, to some extra storage that you can utilize.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
And it's good. I was thinking of putting Space App in there, too.
No, don't do that.
Well, it's just in my living room right now.
Yeah, but when you get the Outrun out, you can have room for Space App.
It might take a while. I don't know how long it's going to take to do that. I don't think all the parts from the sit-down transplant directly onto that
cabinet.
Can
we sledgehammer the cabinet after it's stripped like we did that one time?
You got to throw it off a roof. Todd Tucky style.
Todd Tucky. Todd Tucky SP. Oh, you did have an update about, I think that's one that I missed, was about Dexter, I think is one.
Yeah, I finally, after many trials and tribulations with the Dexter, I finally got it in working. When I originally got it, one of the sound channels was out and I had to send it back. And then I sent it back. And when you use Dexter, you have to use a different version of Merlin. So I had to get a ROM burned for that. So it took me a while to get the correct ROM, and Ian very kindly programmed that for me. And then it took me a little more time to actually pull the game out and put the ROM in and get it all set up, because I knew it was going to be a hassle, which it was. But I got it all in and I got it all working, and it's actually pretty cool. It's really, I think the picture looked good. I'm not sure if it looks better than the Laserdisc. I mean, I think this was based off of the remastered Laserdisc that came out like in 2002 or something like that. Yeah. So right there may be why it looks better. It's definitely faster to go between scenes since you're not waiting for the Laserdisc to change positions. Mm. And it's really cool that you can just switch between the games. I just have it with Space Ace and Dragon's Lair. But there's also a Dragon's Lair prototype that has prototype scenes that I haven't seen before. So that was really cool to play those. I actually get to play those scenes. And the way I have it set up right now, you can have it set up to be one game or the other, and you can swap during the attract mode. But there's also a setting where you can have it as it goes through attract. If it goes through attract on one game two times, it'll switch to the other game or another game that you have on there. So
that's pretty cool.
If you had more than one game, it would just cycle through the different games. So if you leave it on, Space Ace will be on, and then it'll cycle through a few times, and then Dragon's Lair comes up.
Yeah.
And so you can hear the different attracts, which is a pretty cool feature.
Yeah. You should note, though, the problem you're having that with the external monitor, that the signal you're having.
Yeah, the one bummer is the player that I had in there, which is LDV 8000 is the one that I have in there, and it has two outputs, which is really super convenient because I have a PVM on the top of the game as a spectator monitor, and so I was able to just put those two signals, one to the game and one to the PVM, and I really liked that. But with the Dexter, there's only one output, and I was like, oh, well, this is easy. I'll just get a BNC splitter. It's fine. So I did that, and when I hooked it up, the signal to the monitor in the game was always very degraded.
Yeah.
It seemed
really
like,
dim.
Yeah. The one going to the PVM was usually fine.
Turn the brightness up.
it was way more than just the brightness. It was very degraded.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's some kind of like BNC. I saw like powered boxes. I didn't look into it too far. I kind of
signal booster.
Yeah, some kind of signal booster. I put a question
for copying VHS tapes that you used to be able to get from Radio Shack.
Yeah, something like that.
Video signal amplifier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you should record the LaserDisc on the VHS.
And hell yeah!
Have someone in there pressing rewind and forward.
That would be cool. Fast forward. No, 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 stop. No, wait. No, go back.
You killed me, you fucker.
So, yeah, I've got it right now. I've got it hooked up in my game. So I'm going to rock the Dexter for a little while. May go back to using the LaserDisc after a little bit. But, yeah, I'm liking it so far. It's pretty cool.
Nice.
Even though it is fake bullshit.
That's fake.
Well, it's a bullshit game.
Yeah. Ian was getting very frustrated with Space Ace earlier.
Yep. Let me tell you, not a game I was enjoying.
Let me guess, you're not a laser person. You're not a laser guy. Yeah.
Poor Vizier.
Game over.
Yeah, I was like, I've played this for 30 seconds, and all that's happened is this fucking blue dude has laughed in my face about dying. I'm like not
30 times.
Why would I put more money in this?
Yeah, I don't know.
So yeah, so that's my update. I think my next game room update is going to be try to wedge the centipede into.
Yeah.
The one side that I have three games, I think there's like exactly 18. Is it 18 inches, the centipede that the cabarets are, or something like? I think I measured in was 18 inches.
I think it's like, I think it's over 20, 22. Something is it? Like that.
I believe I have enough room, but we shall see. The jury's still out.
Yeah.
But I did pick up the repair log that I had left behind when I picked up the game, and. Brandon is going to do a dramatic reading of the centipede repair log.
Yeah.
Circa amazing. 1989.
Says there's three staples in it for no reason.
One for each piece of paper.
Yeah. Yeah, number 02199. Centipede repair. That's what it looks like because the guy can't write. He's 11-24-89. Interim. Well, that's what it looks like, he said. Green only. No red or blue.
Uh-oh.
Reconnected signal input to monitor. Now okay.
Dun, dun, dun.
Clean edge connectors and fingers. On monitor harness. How do you do that? How do you clean the edge connector on the fucking monitor harness? Replaced amp connectors with Molex and Trifricon. Then he made a, like a little drawing of the monitor connector. And that looks pretty cool. And it says resoldered. Headers, flyback, and various other parts on monitor chassis. And then the same day he got ambitious, and he wrote it in pen, clean trackball assembly, bearings, and shafts.
That's
11-24. That's
when he added the extra grease.
Yeah, that's Thanksgiving, right? Is that Thanksgiving?
It's like the third Thursday,
right? Depends on the year.
Yeah, can you Google if on 1989?
Hey Siri, what day was Thanksgiving?
Yeah. And then a year later, on 11-7-90, which is funny because it looks like he wrote it at the same time as he did in 89. He just thought he was trying to be futuristic. On 11-7-90, worked okay at shop. For good luck.
I like that part.
Yeah. For good luck, cleaned ICs and sockets, edge connectors, monitor. Oh, wait. He needs to use some periods here. On the monitor. New 47 microfarad 60 volt mounted away from hot parts.
I was wondering chassis about that. Is that hotter. Just
he probably made the capacitor?
He probably made it
like fucking high water install on the against the chassis or something.
Does he like have a wires?
You should see if it's still like that.
I didn't see anything weird when I looked in there.
Maybe he mounted
like
it upside down.
A capacitor dangling off of the chassis.
Yeah. I think the funny thing about this is that, I don't know, he seems very excited about all of his work.
This is not working for me.
The writing looks like, Ian was saying, the writing looks like he had his kid write it for him. And
he does. It's rough.
And, yeah.
Thank you very much, Brandon.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I don't know. It's like he has it. Like he was gonna do some more repairs in the future, and then he just gave up.
Yeah, there's two blank pages.
So that was the three staples.
Maybe that's when it went into storage.
Do you have any other comments about it?
Nope. I like finding stuff like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'll find the collection logs or stuff like that. I think that's pretty cool. I like knowing the history of the games.
I don't think I've ever seen a person's repair log in there. It's been from like vendors or something, but not. Or yeah, a person. Yeah. Yeah, maybe it was a dog that did it last time.
Like, I've written repair logs.
Yeah. The fuck? like a non-business, I guess. Just a homeowner, I guess. It looks like a dad. Yeah, you know, like I never seen a dad write a repair log.
It's got a shop.
Yeah. It was definitely an operator, I would think. I would think.
It's a very professional form then. Yeah. Surprised it doesn't have like a fucking A plus on it, like he turned it in or something. It's like a fucking school paper or something like that.
Yeah. Little red marks all through it.
Yeah, it's cool. You should add on to it. You should continue the tradition.
I could.
418.
Replace
2018.
Replace trackball bearings.
Yeah. Or actually, it's 419. Lost in Centipede, got third place.
I don't need to record that.
I did that with my tank too. There was a little repair tag on the board set, and I had to go replace a timer because the game wasn't ending, and I just put another tag on there.
Nice.
Like the date. They were like, cool.
That's one thing I want to start
25
doing.
25 years apart.
I haven't done that. I've never written repair logs, so I want to start doing that. Because half the time there's such a gap between when I repair stuff, I forget, you know, so.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's why you write it down.
Yeah, that's why. I need fucking...
Yeah, you need a
college-ruled paper. Fucking number two pencil. So that's it, right?
That's it.
All right.
Yeah, so maybe Jordan will be here if he fixes his tire next time.
He's too tired.
Yeah.
He should be four tired. That's the problem.
All right, guys.
A friend of mine once told me, the cardinal rule of the road. You have any guesses what the cardinal rule of the road is?
No.
Rubber side down. You never want to violate that rule.
Rubber side down.
Four on the floor.
Four on the street. Seeing a few people who broke that rule. It didn't look like it went well for them.
All right, guys.
You're fine.
All right. Let's play some games.
Not play some games.
Not some play
playing
some
a driving games. Game. Yeah. Driving home.
Hard driving.
I'm going to...
SSD Riven.
SSD Riven.